Well, hello and welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast, and this is an extra special edition because I've got a very special guest. He's a Tottenham legend, and in fact he's a world football legend, probably the greatest centre-back of all time, Mr. Mike England, all the way from Wales. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm very well. I even feel better now after that introduction.
Well, it's true.
No, it was very flattering.
Well, we're a football podcast. We only talk about football on this podcast, and I thought we'd get straight into it with the questions. What's your first memory of... what are your memories of first signing for Tottenham?
Oh, great excitement coming down to Tottenham and sitting with Bill Nicholson trying to come to some deal, you know, with a contract, because I'd come from Blackburn and... moving to London, it was very difficult when I was moving because, you know, the price of houses and property down there. And so, anyway, it was all settled and I was delighted when I signed for Tottenham. And I looked at the team sheet and when you saw Dave Mackay, Mullery, Pat Jennings, Cyril Knowles, oh my goodness, you know, it was a great thrill for me, I tell you.
And can you remember your first game?
Yeah, I think it was at Arsenal, I think.
Wow.
And we drew, yeah. And I got into trouble on the bus going to Arsenal on my first trip, because what I did, I sat in the front seat and all the players got on the bus and they all said, you know, are you all right, Mike? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm really looking forward to it. And I said, I'm a bit nervous, but I'll be okay. And they said, are you sure now? Yeah, yeah. Dave Mackay, all the players that got on, Chivers, the lot. They all said, you're all right, Mike. And I said, yeah, fine. And then this gentleman got on the bus with a Trilby hat on. And he said, excuse me. He said, you're sitting in my seat. And I said, oh, I'm terribly sorry. I said, I didn't know this was your seat. He says, do you know who you're speaking to? He says, my name is Sidney Whale. I'm the chairman of Tottenham Hotspur. And I said, oh, I'm terribly sorry. Well, all the players in the back of the bus, they just burst out laughing because they all knew I was sitting in the chairman's seat and the sods let me sit there.
They're all going, you're all right sitting there, you're all right.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, yeah. So that was the first game. My first game for Tottenham, I think, was at Arsenal, yeah.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, so it was a good start anyway.
So I mean, let's get into the question that all the fans want to know. What was it like playing against Arsenal? Was it special? Was it a little bit different?
Yeah, it was very special because the rivalry is, as you know, so intense. And you know, a lot of people at Tottenham used to say, as long as you beat Arsenal, that's the main one. You know.
I mean, I certainly do. If ever I come across a player, which is rarely, but if I ever do, you know, that's what I always say. Obviously, that hasn't changed. But the dressing room, was it, you know, really, really hyped up against the Arsenal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Before you went out playing against Arsenal, you know, it was the two games that you played. You didn't want to lose those because, I mean, it's for your own pride, you know. And, I mean, the rivalry is so, you know, so great. And, you know, if you beat Arsenal, then, you know, oh, gee, the supporters would be so thrilled that... That was what it's all about, you know, because, you know, we used to love to do it, but I mean, you do it for the supporters because they're the people that pay your wages and you're all in it together, you know, and that's what I used to think was great at Tottenham because, you know, the supporters and the players had a great, like, togetherness, you know, it was good.
Yeah. And was Dave Mackay the captain at the time?
Oh, yeah, what a captain, eh? Fancy Dave Mackay as captain. he was quite an incredible fella because, and a wonderful leader, you know, and he never knew what it was to be beaten, and so he used to drive people on, and he was a magnificent captain, and it was such a pleasure to play with someone like him. And me being only 23, I was 22, 23 when I came to Tottenham.
Yeah.
And he was the captain and the senior player, you know, it was just great. He just helped no end to help you settle into the side, you know. It was just great.
And against Arsenal, would he be particularly, you know, up it and getting everyone going?
Oh, against Arsenal, well, you know, to be honest, like when you played against the Arsenal, every player in the team, in the squad, was up for it, you know, because you were just, it was hyper, you know, it was just before you went out, the nerves and everything, it was great.
Oh,
and you love playing in games like that, because when you become a professional footballer, that's what you do it for, because you love playing football. And the rivalry between Arsenal and Tottenham was so intense that it was quite incredible, really. So I loved all that because, I just loved it. And when the Arsenal supporters used to start shouting, like, England is a bastard, I used to know I was playing well. Because if the Arsenal supporters keep giving you a stick, you know you're doing okay, you know. So.
Well, about 10 years ago, I went to an away game at Chelsea. Yeah. And at half-time, Osgood came on for an interview, and all the Spurs fans started going, Mike England, Mike. You know, this is only about 10 years ago.
So, I know.
He was your great nemesis,
you know,
wasn't
what?
He?
It was so great, because you used to play against the likes of Peter Osgood, who was a great centre-forward. You know, I mean, you got to hold your hand up. But the rivalry, and we used to have such great games against each other, you know, And then I'd clip him and hit him and tackle him. And I mean, you know, in those days, players didn't used to go down like they do now.
Yeah.
Because quite honestly, if I tackled Peter Osgood or he clipped me, neither of us wanted to show that we'd been injured or hurt in any way. You know, the last thing I wanted Peter Osgood to think was that he'd hurt me, you know.
Isn't that amazing? Because
players of today just go down. Yeah. They go down as soon as they're just clipped, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's incredible that, you know, you see players today and they get clipped and they're, you know, even Joey Barton, who you know, assaulted about three players at the weekend.
But
at the start of the season, I think one of the Arsenal players just touched heads with him and he was straight down. So.
Oh, yeah, he went down himself. That's right.
Incredible.
So
Osgood was your great nemesis.
Osgood,
so for you personally,
a lot of Joe Royle of Everton.
Oh yeah,
and Osgood, yeah, and all the big centre forwards they used to have, Derek Dugan and all that, and they used to have some great centre forwards around in those days. They did, yeah.
So what would you do? You know, say it's a corner or something,
mm-hmm.
and you know you've got you've got Osgood. You know, you're marking him or something. Mm-hmm. What sort of things were you a bit sneaky or what sort of things?
Well, it's very similar to what goes on nowadays. But we didn't used to grab hold of their shirts. We just used to. You always were responsible for the person. You know, I was marking Osgood, and there was no way that Osgood was just going to score a header from a corner or anything like that. There's no way, because I'm marking him, and I'm responsible for him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know I'm going to beat Osgood in the air. I'm going to just get rid of him. And that's what we used to do then. And now, and then we started all this marking space, you know, and all this. And I think that it's an easy get-out for defenders, that, because if someone, you know, gets in behind you or scores, you say, well, I was marking the space, you know. But if the defender is given a job to do and he knows who he's marking, then you can point your finger straight away then. You know yourself anyway, Steve, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
But it was very, very difficult. Yeah, you just made sure that your particular opponent wasn't going to score.
Oh, okay. So the corner comes in, right,
mm-hmm.
and it's coming your way. Is it and Osgood's, you know, bar trying to get you? Was there any little things that you used to do, or was it just basically winning this ball?
Just little things that footballers pick up. You know, like there's if you're standing behind a defender, you'll just put your fingers into the back of the ribs, you know, in the back, and then just before they're going to take off. And there's little things that players do. They still do them. Oh, they're doing worse now, but we used to do all those kind of things, you know, and just tug on the shirt. We used to tug on the shirt and just let it go. And but now they grab hold of the shirt and keep hold of it for about 10 seconds. And, of course, the referee.
And you mentioned that if someone did
option,
it,
you know.
You mentioned it, if someone did it to you, like a little poke in it, what would you, you know, because you couldn't punch them, obviously.
No. The thing is that when you used to rough someone up as a centre-half, and the centre-forwards would give you a load of verbal, and they would just call you, big Welsh so-and-so and all this, and I used to just look at them, and I used to say a word, I just used to look at them, and then they'd rant and rave, and I just looked at them and I never said a word. And that made them more nervous because they used to think you were loony, you know. They used to think there was something wrong with you. But I found that was one of the best ways to rile a centre forward. And because, and when you do that, and when you upset a centre forward and upset your opponent like that, his concentration suddenly leaves him, and he's not bothered then. He's all he's thinking about is sorting me out, you know. And so that still goes on. That's what you have to do. You know, there's things like this you have to do. You just upset the fellow you're playing against so that he loses his concentration. And but I think nowadays, I think, you know, they sort of get on with the game a bit more. I don't know. The rivalry, like, it used to be so intense. It was quite incredible, really.
Yeah. That's brilliant. So, I mean, you mentioned a few players there. Who would you say is the best player you actually played against?
Oh, one stands out. Pele was... I played against him quite a lot because Wales played Brazil, and then I went to America and he played for New York Cosmos and I played for the Seattle Sounders. And so over a period of time, I played against Pele lots of times, and he was quite incredible. I mean, he was just, you know... Unbelievable player.
Did you ever play at the Maracanã?
Pardon?
Did you ever play at the Maracanã in Brazil?
Oh, yeah, we played at the 180,000 there. Yeah, I played in that game, for Wales in that game. And I played against Pele when I was 19.
Wow.
And that was the first time I ever met him when I was 19. 180,000 people there. And incidentally, in that game, when I was 19, our goalkeeper was Jack Kelsey, the Arsenal goalkeeper. And he dived at one of the Brazilians' feet and broke his neck. And he never played again.
Oh.
And that was when he broke... He did his neck. And that was the end of poor Jack Kelsey. He must have been like 35 or 37. I don't know, something like that. He was the older player in the team. But he was a hell of a goalkeeper, you know.
And when you played against Pelé then, how old would he have been then when you were 19?
Pelé's the same age as me.
Oh, right, okay, so he was a young man.
Exactly the same age, and we retired on the same day in Portland, Oregon, and he gave me his shirt, and he gave me a package, and I said, what's this? He said, Mike, you open package, and I opened the package, and it was a fantastic photograph of me tackling him. I slid into him, and he was up in the air, and the ball was there, and he'd signed it to Mike, best wishes, Pelé. And I've got it up in my villa in Spain. It's a beautiful big photograph of, and signed by Pelé, which I'm very proud of. It was a very nice thing. But the nice thing about it is that when you think about it, he thought about this even before the game started.
Yeah.
So that's what kind of guy he is, Pelé. And he's just a, you know, brilliant fella.
That's fantastic. And have you met him subsequently at any events, or was that the last time you saw him?
Sorry, yeah, I bumped into him in international matches and that afterwards, you know.
Oh, right,
and so we always have a little, he comes up, we have a little hug and that, and it's you know, it's great.
That's fantastic. And did you have him in your pocket when you marked him?
It's happened to me quite a lot, that, actually. You know, when, especially now I'm into golf and stuff, and a lot of the players that I used to play against, I bump into, which is great. And so you can reminisce and have a little chin wag, you know, about the past and that. It's good. It's really good.
That's brilliant. I mean, that's terrific. What would you have you bumped into Osgood? Are you friends now?
Well, you're talking about players, and if you talk about British players, and obviously George Best is the one that just shoots to mind straight away, because he was like a genius, you know, like he was the Messi of his day, you know.
Yeah.
And of course Dennis Law, and players like Bobby Charlton and all that. There's a list. You can just go all through them. They were all great players in their day, you know, which is great. It was wonderful. And what a way to earn a living, Steve, playing football.
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, you see these players who don't want to play in this game or that game or don't want to play on a Thursday, and you just think, I'll play.
I can't believe it. And what was nice was because Harry Redknapp and I go back a long, long way, because he's a great mate, because we played together in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was playing in Seattle, Jamie Redknapp was only 3 or 4 years age, and he used to follow us everywhere. And it's lovely to see him now, you know, doing his comments on telly and that. He's very, very good.
I think he's excellent.
And it's great, because I remember him when he was a 3 or 4 year old. And so Harry and I go back a long, long way, and what a job he's done at Tottenham. When you think about it, Steve, when he came to Tottenham, they had 3 points, I think, something like that. And that was about 4 years ago, was it?
Well, and the famous quote is 2 points from 8 games.
Well, it's different. It's a club now. It's got its pride back, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, it is fantastic. It really is. And I'm so, so pleased and delighted that he's got fourth place. So now we're all shouting for Bayern Munich, aren't we?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't
it? We've got to support Bayern Munich now.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, but you know, we obviously lost a few games the latter half of this season, and everyone was sort of saying, oh, Harry, is he really the man and what have you? You just got to look at the bigger picture and say the last three or four seasons have been some of the best. It's certainly in the last 20, 25 years, been fantastic.
There have been occasions when I've watched Tottenham play, and it's been a delight to watch them play. The football, you know, it was really good to watch, good on the eye, and the players. And unfortunately, he then got a lot of injuries, and that is a manager's nightmare. If you get four or five of your best players injured, then that cocks the whole thing up completely. Yeah. And I think
particularly
the Tottenham supporters, fair dues, I think they realised that there was a time during the season when he had some of his best players out injured, and it all happened all at once, you know.
Yeah.
And it was a period for about 6 weeks. And when you lose players of that calibre, then you are going to just lose a few points along the road, you know. But then they picked up and they played some lovely football, and it's been a great season. You know, when you look at the way they played, they finished fourth in the league. I mean, they've qualified for the Champions League. I mean, what a great season it's been. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the players you're talking about there getting injured, Michael Dawson, for example.
Yes.
But, I mean, Ledley King, clearly, yes. You know, he can't play that many games in a row, and he was clearly suffering. And when Ledley King plays poorly, you know, we're going to be in trouble, aren't they? Because would you agree Ledley King has been fantastic for us over the last 10 or so years?
He's been one of the best centre-backs playing, and unfortunately he has this terrible knee problems, hasn't he? But what a player he's been, you know, and he's been so unlucky, so unfortunate, because he would have had so many England caps, and he would have, you know, and Tottenham would have had him as fit, and that he's just been a great centre-half, centre-back. He has. I love watching him play. I love his coolness. I love the way that he comes out of defence, and the way he looks the part. He's just a super player.
Yeah, it's just a shame, isn't it, that we haven't been able
it's
to have him in that
really,
side.
You know.
But yeah, I mean, so it's been a good season. So
I've enjoyed watching Modric. Oh, gee whiz, he's so creative, and that. And then I've enjoyed Gareth Bale, of course.
Well,
and don't forget
Welshman.
He's a Welshman, Steve.
He just needs to stick out on the left a little bit more. That's what we've been saying.
Yeah, that's when he was at his. Yes, that's when he was doing most of the damage then, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because it's nice when you see Tottenham with wits.
Yeah.
And because sometimes it just comes too narrow. I don't like it when they get narrow. I like it when they've got width, because they stretch people, and it's good. And I just hope that they can come to some deal with Abby. You've got to get the centre forward signed, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Because he's all right. He can play all right, and he brings everyone else into the game. You see?
Absolutely. He definitely creates problems.
Yes, I'm sure Harry will sort that one out.
Yeah, no. Hey, you know, he's fine. So going forward, you know, this show, we'll put it out after the Bayern Munich game, so we don't know exactly what's happened.
But
going forward, then, how do you see us for next season?
Well, I look forward to it, because the thing is, first of all, you've got to hang on to the best, you know, you've got to hang on to the likes of Modric and Van der Vaart and Abidio. They've got to get them, and Scott Pike. They've got to hold on to the best players, and of course Gareth Bale is the one that most of the big boys are looking at, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Bale is irreplaceable.
Hold on to them, and then if Harry can add another winger and another midfield player, and I think, well, I'm hoping that Dawson will be back and all that.
Yeah.
And if he gets like four or five players in, decent, I mean, you know, just to add, to fill in the jigsaw, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so they all complement. And Harry's the best at that. That's what he's really good at. He sees things in players, and he's able to complement each other, you know, which is great. That's what it's all about. And that's what he's done at Tottenham. He's built a team that's, you know, a joy to watch.
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. Well, listen, thanks very much for having a chat with us there.
Okay.
It's been absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure all the listeners will agree with me with big smiles on their faces listening to all those stories there. And
I don't know whether the listeners know, but I've known you since you were a baby. So
yeah.
Because your dad's one of my best mates.
I'll let it that bit out. No, I won't.
It's been a great pleasure, Steve, and... you know, I know that, like all the Tottenham fans, I'm really looking forward and I'm excited about next season already.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, normally we get to the end of the season and you think, oh, you know, what's going to happen and what have you. And we're still thinking that, but we're far more positive. And
yes.
Just one final question. Will you come on next year and have another chat with us?
Yeah, it'll certainly be a pleasure. It'll be a great pleasure, Steve.
Brilliant. Well, look after my dad in Spain, won't you?
I will. I'll try not to take too much money off him on the golf course. I promise that. I'll be gentle with him, okay?
All right.
All right. Okay, Steve.
All right, thanks very much then, Mike.
Okay.
Cheers, bye.
I love you, Mum and Dad.
All right, we'll do.
All
thanks,
right. Cheers,
thanks. Bye.
Bye.